Hey guys, it's Nikki.
What's up? It's Heather.
And we're your host of Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes. So we are back and we're in the basement.
We are.
Like we said.
On our own.
I still didn't fix that battery.
But you know what? Last week when we did our little thing letting them know, you couldn't hear it.
I didn't really hear it either.
No.
But I have a battery that I have to replace, guys. So if you hear that, that's
the beeping. It's the fire alarm.
It's the fire alarm. Yeah. And my motivation will be if I hear it in this recording, I'm definitely going to change it.
Oh, she
ain't. It's been needed to be changed for quite some time now. Mom, don't yell at me because I know you're going to hear that. So let's just go, since we have our own space and our own time. Do you have any thing you want to talk about that's been going on with you? How's your move?
Still not done.
Still not done.
Still not done. We got to be out by the 31st.
Oh,
we decided to be, you know, dumb and get some renters for our old house.
I forgot all about that. Yep. Damn.
So we have to be out by the 31st. We have a 2.5-car garage that is full of 52 years of, if not more, of tools from him being a mechanic and everything else. So, you know.
Fun.
Right.
Fun. I ain't got too much. Well, I can't say I ain't got too much. That's a lie.
Lie.
Yeah. I got lots of stuff going on with work. Started school. Kids in school. Martial arts tonight. For the oldest. Yeah. Hi-ya! We have it on the calendar as story hi-ya. It's her hi-ya day. So we have to head straight to that after this. But today, guys, we're going to talk about our tour. What? My job?
Yeah.
I'm a big girl now. I got a big girl job.
She got a promotion!
Holla! I work for the government, though, so keep your mouth shut.
And she started school yesterday. We sent her off to school yesterday. Like, well, really, we sent her to the basement, but you know.
Yeah, I know.
Same thing.
I had all my shit all over the couch yesterday, and I was very overwhelmed. I was like, why did I sign up for this? It's fun, though, because I got to start reading my criminal law book. And that was fun. I've got all kinds of notes that I can't wait to talk about. So
I was at a funeral today, and one of the kids that my son grew up with, kind of, sort of, kind of not, I don't know. I've seen the kid grow. I mean, he's 20 years old. He is going to school for criminal justice and accounting.
Oh, Lord.
His major is accounting, and his whatever is minor is criminal justice. He wants to work for the DEA.
Well, I hope he has nothing but time to give, because right. I'm only taking 3 classes.
He's 20, honey.
Okay. I'm only taking 3 classes, and I'm like, what the actual fuck? So yeah, good luck to him. Good luck, my friend. Godspeed.
Right.
Lord. So we did our prison tour Saturday, which was, it was a lot of fun.
It was.
It was fun. It was
a shit show, but it was fun.
So we're going to tell you guys all about it. So let's jump right into, first, let's go over the history aspect. And then at the end, we'll tell you guys all of our fun and experiences that we got to have at the Missouri State Pen.
Experience with us three.
Oh, always. So Missouri State Pen, we're going Jefferson City, Missouri, opened in 1836. It served as the state of Missouri's primary maximum security prison. So let's dive into the history. Missouri didn't actually become a state until 1821, which I didn't know. Jefferson City had become chosen as the state capital in 1822. In 1831, the governor at the time suggested that they build a prison to basically show their power status over any other town trying to be in the running for capital.
And to get people out there.
Yeah. Which, when she said that, I was kind of like, a prison, though?
Well, like, I mean, yeah, and that's how, but then when she said, you know, because back then family members would travel and live there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that would come to prison, their family members would travel and
live out there. Yeah, and times were different back then.
Right.
But because like now today, I'm gonna be like, oh, let's move there because they're building a prison.
Right.
Like, that's so weird to me. But back then it was a lot different. And plus you're building up land and property. So it gives people a lot of opportunities to build on. So I did get it after she kind of broke it down a little more. But they ultimately decided to build that there so that, you know, the other places wouldn't try to be in the running for the Capitol. They wanted everything big there. They wanted the Capitol building. They wanted the prison, the whole nine yards. So in 1834, they began construction of the prison. Prisoners that would be housed in the prison in the 1830s were actually employed making the bricks and building the prison. They were given a $2,500 budget to build the prison. Mm. Oh, we hear my dog. She's up there wreaking havoc about something. They were given $2,500 budget. So back then,
how much is $2,500? I was gonna say,
yeah, what is it today? Okay.
So
I feel like you looked this up when we were there.
No, I looked up when the $500,000 in whatever it was that got fucked up.
Oh, okay. I do. Yeah, it was money that you looked up. So yeah, look up that. It was, they were given $2,500.
In 1834?
Yep.
1834.
Yeah. So while you look that up, I'll keep going. And I don't know what she's barking at. In 1836, Missouri State Pen opened for business. So they started building it in 1834. And by 1836, they were ready to be open for business. At the time that they opened, there was only one guard, one warden, and 15 prisoners. Now, a guy named Wilson Edison was the first person to serve time for grand larceny at the Missouri State Pen. He was the very first prisoner. Now there was a few stories I read in the museum that were fun of all the people that were incarcerated there. I guess would incarcerated be the right word. So I seen on their walls they had stuff hanging of all the people, and I thought it'd be fun just to go over some of the ones that
they were called convicts.
Convicts, right.
Okay, so real quick, $2,500 in 1834 is $79,741.28 today.
This dog. Oh, Lord, I don't know what she's wreaking havoc about, y'all. Sorry if you can hear her.
Oh, well, we're...
Keep it going.
Welcome she home.
Is, she is very mad. All I right. don't know what she's mad
it's
about.
It's a mailman.
Dog barking.
There is.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear another dog barking.
Also. My daughter's here, guys.
Hi.
we're doing this, we're taking this home thing to a new level.
Right.
And we are not sorry or ashamed. It is us.
You hear our babies.
That's what we
do. I told you we bring in one at a time.
Right. Slowly but surely, all of our kiddos are coming on the podcast. Okay, I don't want to lose track here like we do.
Right.
So first prisoner. Wilson Edison, he was the first prisoner to serve time for grand larceny.
But he was there for a while by himself, wasn't it like
9 months
or something like that, they said?
Yeah, it looks like, I think it was
18 months.
Yeah, it was a while. He was there by himself. Like
by himself for a while. Could you imagine?
Oh,
being, I mean, I know back then it wasn't as big as it is now, but being there all by yourself. And like that place really has like actual cells to where, like, oh, you know, the other three that we normally talk about don't.
Yeah. It would have been very interesting because you would think he probably had some kind of like rapport. Like, I mean, he's the only person.
I'd have
like,
to catch a mouse or a rat, and it had to be my friend. So I had someone to talk to.
A couple of the other...
they weren't allowed to talk. Remember, they gave them the silent treatment. That's what they first started off as, the silent treatment, because it would reform them if they didn't talk to them.
Yeah, it was a
so that motherfucker was in there. I'd have a mouse, a bug.
A bug of some sort.
Right.
You just make a friend up, imaginary friend. So a couple I thought were cool. We got Firebug Johnson. In 1882, he was sentenced to 12 years in the Missouri State Pen. He ended up spending 18 years almost exclusively in solitary confinement because of an attempted escape involving arson.
And didn't they say when you're in the hole for so long, like you literally go blind?
You could go blind, right? Yeah.
And there was people that, you know, that did. They would leave him in the hole for 12 months at a time.
Yeah. It said that Firebug Johnson, he had planned change clothes into civilian clothes. He scaled an 18-foot wall using a ladder. He subdued a guard into opening the gate. And he reached the wall before a guard could find him. Ultimately, he didn't escape. He spent a long time in the hole. Then there was Sadie Hayes in 1887. She was there for murder in the second degree. But this is where it gets tricky, because back then there was no women's prison.
Right.
So there was nowhere to house them or anything like that. So Sadie Hayes had killed a St. Louis police officer with a straight razor. She was sentenced to 99 years, but she was actually pardoned in 1898. But that goes back to, they had nowhere to go with her. And that's what one of the ladies, our tour lady, had said, was back then so many women were coming to the prison and they're like, well,
we ain't got nowhere to put you.
We ain't got nowhere to put you. So
you're pardoned.
Goodbye. Next time. See you next time. Another one that was fun for me was, her name was, they called her Red Emma. Her name was Emma Goldman. 1917, she served at the Missouri State Pen for a federal crime of conspiracy. She was one of the two women that had spoke out about the draft. She stated that it infringed on their individual rights. So they arrested her and a woman named Kate O'Hare, and she was known as Red Kate O'Hare. Both these women were arrested for espionage of speaking out against the draft and the rights of the people being drafted. Another one, Sonny Liston, who was arrested in 1950 and charged with robbery and a deadly weapon and larceny. Now, he is the one that learned to box while he was serving at Missouri State Pen.
That was wasn't he a professional boxer?
He was saw boxing by a newspaper reporter, and they arranged for his release on 1952 to study boxing at the YMCA in St. Louis.
Right.
In 1953, he won the Chicago Golden Gloves Tournament. Liston won the World Heavyweight Championship in 1962 against Floyd Patterson. He ended up having a 17-year ring log that was 50-4 with 39 knockouts.
Damn.
So he was arrested and realized he was a talent, and
they let him go.
I
don't think he's one I'd want to fuck with.
No, definitely not. They were like, yeah, so we're just gonna let this one go.
Right.
Now I'm about to say a name. Ugh. James Earl Ray. Ugh. Heather's fun story that we have for you guys later.
Fucker.
1959 was arrested for armed robbery. Now, this is a big one because the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. began his criminal career as a petty thief. In April of
1960, I'm saying, but Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't a petty thief. Earl James was. He was a petty thief first, then he got out. Well, he escaped.
Okay. So anyway.
Okay. I should have.
He assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.
while he was escaped. Right?
He escaped by hiding a bread box on a truck that drove between the prison bakery where he worked. And that's basically how he escaped. In 1968, he killed Martin Luther King. So he was sentenced to 99 years. He owed Missouri the 8 years left on the Missouri sentence, but Missouri repeatedly refused to accept the transfer because his proven ability to escape required posting one-on-one guards, and he needed strict protection from the African-American inmates.
They should just let him go at him.
Just let him go. Mm-hmm. So those were some ones that I thought were pretty fun and interesting to talk about. But now we're moving on to the 1850s, and the prison population is now up to 199 by this point. They built a housing unit 4 in 1968, which is still standing today. We didn't get to tour that one because it is under construction. But it went through many phases.
Right. The roof was tore off in 2019 because of the tornado.
Yeah. So that's why we didn't get to tour it. But that house itself went through.
We'll be back next year.
They said
it'll be back open next year. The roof will be done.
For sure. We'll definitely get to do it again. Yeah. But that house was interesting to me because the way they described it, it went through many changes. Originally back in the day, it was known for really, really poor conditions. They even said that there was like literally black holes in the floor where they would put people. The hole.
AKA. They didn't call it the hole back then. No. I don't remember what she said they called it. That's like a new term.
A new term, yeah. I think she just called it isolation.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But then it eventually turned into...
They don't really call it the hole anyway. So, I mean, they call it solitary confinement, but
yeah.
People on the outside call it the hole.
Eventually changed it to where the... when they started bringing African-Americans into the prison, that's where they began storing and housing the African-American men. It later, once everything was said and done and we're no longer have to have separation, it later became an honor house.
Right.
Which, what did he say?
And wasn't it when they had the African-Americans in there, they had like 8 per cell?
Yes.
Now, y'all, we didn't get to see those cells. Well, we got to see the other ones, and you're lucky that 2 people would fit in them. They had 6 to 8 per cell.
Per cell.
That's nuts.
In one housing unit.
That's nuts.
So it later became an honor house. They said that it would have TVs. It had pool tables.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they? They would bring in wood and build their own, like, furniture and stuff like that, but it couldn't come out of the cell because it was too big. So it's currently in there in the cells now.
Yeah.
Once it
went in the cells as wood, it was built into dressers or whatever.
Desk or.
But they never left the cell because they couldn't get them back out the cell doors. So that was fun. She said the only way they could get stuff out, you know, over the wear and tear of years is it had to be destroyed, right. Which is unfortunate. So they continue to basically just keep expanding the prison. They even build the warden's mansion across the street.
There was a few warden mansion, wasn't there?
I don't know. The Murduke house is the one we were at.
Yeah, but that was like the third one because there was other one. 2 of them burnt down. Something like that. I don't know. And they built, the prisoners built that one, right?
Yeah.
The Murdoch house?
Yeah. So the prisoners built the warden's house.
Right.
And by 1893, Missouri State Pen was considered to be one of the most cost-efficient prisons for housing and feeding prisoners.
11 cents a day per prisoner.
That's crazy.
I know, right?
11 cents a day. And I was reading.
The fuck they feed them?
She said cornbread.
Well, yeah.
What else?
They made their own bread there.
Yeah, they were making stuff there.
Right.
They had the farm. And they had chickens and stuff. So they were doing their own labor.
Their produce and
to feed the prisoners.
Right.
But they continue
11 cents a day.
Yeah. So they just continue to build. So by 1900, we're now up to 2,116 prisoners. Continue going by 1936, Missouri State Pen becomes the largest prison in the United States with more than 5,200. I started to write prisoners. I changed this to convicts. He'd be proud of me.
Right.
So more than 5,200 convicts. So the prison at this point is just growing and growing and growing. However, by this growing process, we now enter the riot. So now we're going September 22nd of 1954, where two prisoners faked an illness. She said one of them doubled over in like stomach pain, and they basically knocked the guards out.
One of them was like an excellent
fighter
and knocked the one out, one guard out. The other one was a pretty good fighter, but not as good as the other one.
Yeah. So they started, they knocked them out and then took their keys and just started going along.
Right. Well, they had asked, you know, they were like doing kites, you know, who wants to, this is what's going to happen. Da, 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 da. You know, do you want out? And they were answering if they wanted out or not. And then they would go open those doors or those
cells
of the ones that wanted out.
Yeah. So they started doing that. They took the keys. They started releasing people. The riot went on for, do you remember how long she said the riot went on for?
Oh, no, I don't.
I don't remember either. But she said all the Missouri State Highway Patrol was called in.
It was the riot. 1954, yeah. That's right.
The Highway State Patrol was called in. Kansas City was called in. Jeff City was called in.
All around.
Every division was called in. They eventually get things under control. And the best way she described it was pretty much Missouri State Patrol came in and had machine guns and was like, well, there's one of you and 80 bullets in here.
Right.
So take your pick. And basically there was a few who still tried to fight out. But there was,
it lasted 18 hours.
Okay. So 18 hours, but there was one, she said that, in this particular house where they were really trying to riot, they basically shot one guy who didn't want to listen, and it pretty much calmed people down to realize they weren't fucking around. Like, they were serious. And if you weren't going to listen,
right,
they've been given permission to shoot to kill. So ultimately things decided to calm down. The overall aftermath was, 7 dead, 50 injured, and almost $7 million in damage that they did from fires.
And that was in 54. So just imagine what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they, and the former inmate and the lady both, like, you know, like, kept on saying not one African-American partaked in the riot. They're like, oh no, fuck no. You know,
there's nowhere you cannot find a single picture in all of the things listed or ever posted where you see one Black person involved
at all.
They did not get involved in the riot.
They wanted nothing to do with it.
It's basically said they were asked if they wanted to be a part of it, and they said no, they did not want to be a part of it. But again, the way it was broken down to, think of the time. We're talking 1954.
Right.
All y'all are about to go out here and riot it. Riot. So every will. Fires, shooting, beating, stabbing, whatever they can get their hands on. Because you're prisoners. And I mean, you have vendettas. Now imagine, why in the world would you walk out into the area of people who you know hate you? You're mm-hmm. literally living in a separate house.
Right.
They weren't stupid.
Right.
They know exactly. They're like, we ain't stupid.
All y'all ain't shanking me.
Crazy ass old white men right. out there killing each other. We ain't coming. So they were not stupid. They definitely stayed low and stayed out of it.
Okay. So right quick. So it was 11 cents per day per inmate. And I looked it up. It says the actual average cost is $71.14 per day, but state law caps reimbursements to the counties at $37.50. And the state's actual reimbursement rate is just $22.81. It costs local taxpayers $45 a day minimum to house inmates.
Interesting.
So 11 cents to...
to feed and house.
Right. We need a farm again.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, think about it though. They would be, it would give them something to do. Well, and we do have some of those things now, but not really.
I mean, not really, because like it, I know when Peyton was at Farmington, they pretty much source everything out now. Like they don't cook their own meals there. Like that's brought in. Only thing like you can really do, if I remember right, is like they do laundry for the hospitals, but they don't require them to have a job like they used to back in the day. Like you had to have a job back then.
You had to be building something, right. doing something, or
right.
Yeah. So back to the riot.
Sorry,
she got me all off topic here. Back to the riot. Obviously. As we had talked, the prison had been growing and growing and growing, but the riot has now drawn more and more attention to the prison. And by 1967, Missouri State Prison is now being called the bloodiest 47 acres in America by Time Magazine. Now, that particular label has stuck. It's on their merchandise. It's talked about in any news article you find around that time after the riot, just because of everything that happened there. And it's one of the biggest riots that right. happened. So the bloodiest 47 acres in America. And I bought a shirt that says it. So I'm really excited. I will show you. I'll post a picture. So let's circle
to. I didn't, and you'll all hear why.
Yes, Heather did not get to purchase anything at the moment. So 1991, they changed the name to Jefferson City Correctional Center. But once they began building what we now know as the Jefferson City Correctional Center in 2001, it was changed back to Missouri State Pen.
Right.
By 2004, 1,300 inmates that remained were moved from Missouri State Pen to Jefferson City Correctional Center. So they started this process in 91. They changed the name. Then they decided, let's go ahead and build another prison instead. And in 2001, they did that. They changed it back to Missouri State Pen, and by 2004, they had moved all of the inmates from Missouri State Pen to Jefferson City Correctional Center, and Missouri State Pen was officially no longer housing inmates. At the time of their closing, Missouri State Pen was the oldest operating facility west of the Mississippi River. That was just some quick... history fun facts that I wanted to go over. Now we're going to talk about our fun-filled adventure. So we got to go there. We walked in, got to see the prison. You guys, if you've never got to do it, I highly suggest you do it.
Yes, got you. Got you.
It was definitely a sight to see. It was an experience.
It was fucking awesome.
It was pretty freaking awesome, for sure. For sure. I definitely will do it again next year because I want to see how
I want to do every tour that they have. I mean every one of them.
The ghost one.
I'll do it too. And even the photography, like there's one that they take you around for photography.
Okay.
So like, you know, I was really prepared last night at home, but once I got up this morning.
Yeah. Not so much.
Yeah. I forgot everything. I had to go to a funeral this morning. So I kind of forgot everything at home, but I had a bunch of stuff, but yeah, like, oh.
All the stuff of the tours and stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We'll be doing more. We'll be doing it again. So you guys will definitely have an opportunity again to go with us. And I highly suggest going.
Oh yeah.
So let's start out by, we got there. We got to explore around just the little main, which was last known for the women's division of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
In 1905, that was built. They built that onto the other side of the prison to house the women. I think there was, what'd she say, 83 or 93 units in that division?
I think, 93 or 96.
It was never full, so they were able to have their own cells.
It was never even half full, I don't think.
Yeah. Eventually, once they moved the women to what they called a prison farm, basically to do housing and farming and all that, naturally, prison farm, what it sounds like. They changed it to a medical unit, almost like a cuckoo medical unit. It was a cuckoo cuckoo. Mm-hmm. And they have what did she call them? Black holes is what I call it. You literally have nothing but a box size room and a toilet. Mm-hmm. And they would shut the door and you would not see daylight for weeks at a time.
I went in it and shut the door.
Stacy uh-huh. went in it.
Yep.
And y'all, she's claustrophobic.
And it was like the wall.
She was there for like 2.5 seconds.
Walls were.
It's literally like if you have a small bathroom that is just.
But the walls weren't. I mean, they were concrete and the ground was concrete, but it was almost like. And I'm sure, you know, she kept on saying, you know, with it being so long, you know, and the windows broken out and this and that, the water, blah, blah, the moisture, the paint falling off the wall. But it was like the walls weren't like the real.
They were just concrete.
Brick. But it was like grainy brick. It was weird.
I don't know. I didn't touch it. I went in. It was like, okay, nope, I'm out. I didn't touch it. I was like, nope, shut the door. Okay, brave big girl, I'm out. But that was insane to me. They literally shut the doors. They made them stay in there for weeks at a time. They did not get light or anything. They would come out blind. They would come out crazy. Whole nine yards. That was pretty intense and insane to me. That unit also later became a recovery unit. So as we progressed in the years of the 90s, 99s, 2000s, it became a recovery unit for addiction. Moving on to the housing unit of death row. You want to move on to that? So that was pretty intense to see.
Right.
They were small cells, as you would imagine.
They did give them a bunk bed, though.
Some of them.
Well, yeah, some of them. But did she say they weren't housed together because, like, the bottom bunk was, like, you know, for them to do their appeals and shit mm-hmm. on? And
yeah.
What was really cool is, I don't know if you went in that one cell, but there was one cell where there was, like, papers just everywhere. I don't think you went in there. It was me and the guy that was the former cop. Remember that said that he mm-hmm. worked a riot?
Yeah.
And Ferguson. Well, me and him were in there and it was dark. So we were taking pictures with our phones and the flash. And it was like documents from the CO officers.
Really?
I didn't know that this person acted like this today, you know, this and this, and that. I was relieved by such and such CO. And
wow.
I took pictures of it. I don't I think we did.
We definitely are gonna have a photo dump come in.
I think I took over. Well, I know I took over 200 pictures.
Oh girl, yes, and I gotta sort through all of it. we're gonna have a massive photo dump. But it was really cool though, because you get to walk. They have all the cell door open.
Right.
You get to walk in whatever cell you want to walk in.
Get on the bed.
Yeah, you can. I mean, obviously, no mattresses. Heather,
some of them, no. There was
one random place that had a mattress.
There was a couple that had a mattress.
But it's just,
they would growl on the walls.
Yeah, you can see the carvings in the walls. It's grungy. It's a sight to see.
It legit looks like they said, all right, let's go. And they up and left. They got their shit.
It's a sight to see.
On what was it, September 15th, 2004, that they closed it?
Yeah.
And they sent them all to Farmington.
And they just said, let's go. So the death row thing was pretty crazy, because they had the single cells. And then when the further you would go down in the division, there was a fence between the prisoners or convicts and the police where they would stand.
They would walk out of their cell and they were still like in a hall cage.
Yeah.
And then there was little chuck hole things where they could walk up to and put their hands to.
There was even parts where the level fives, the dangerous people, they had to literally, you would walk in to a little holding room. They would shut that door
where the CO would be.
CO would be. They would open the prisoner's door. The prisoner would come out into the holding room, get the cuffs on. That door would shut. So it was door open, door shut, door open, door shut. They were never in the same thing until that person had cuffs on their hands. Kind of like you see when you go to, like, if you watch the movies like Mental Institutions, where you walk into a little room, you give them all the stuff, they shut the door behind you.
Right.
So that way, when they open that door for that prisoner ain't getting out, like, one way or another, right, no matter what.
We were told the Shawshank Redemption movie is the closest movie to real life prison than any movie out there.
Yes.
That was told by the former inmate. Yes. So
let's talk about him. So we got to listen to a guy named
James Leroy Cochran,
AKA Little Jelly Roll. And y'all, I love this man.
He is
so cute.
He was cute when he was younger too, girls. So start reading. I'm telling you.
We bought his book.
He was handsome. We each bought one.
So
I'm almost done with it.
He was super, super fun to talk to.
Oh my God.
I don't want to go into too much detail, because y'all, we got to talk to him. You know, I did my PR thing.
Yes, you did. She was on it.
You know, I plugged us a little bit, and he gave me his personal card.
His phone number. Yeah.
So I definitely, we're going to cover him.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we're going to cover his story.
Girl, look at
like
him.
Like I said, we bought a book.
Little cutie.
Oh, him is handsome.
Isn't he a little cutie? He's a good looking old man. A young man.
He's a good looking old man.
He is a good looking old man. Yeah. He's so cute.
He's so cute, y'all. I can't wait to show you.
Little Italian boy.
But he's actually a big name.
Yeah, he is.
If you guys know anything about it or anything about him, it's going to be a fun story to cover. Little Jelly Roll and his crimes rang throughout St. Louis, all the way to Kansas City and beyond. But we got to talk to him personally. We got to hear his story from him, and his outlook, which again will be super fun to talk about. I don't want to spoil.
I want to say so much that he said, but it's like, you know, I don't want to spoil it because he has agreed to talk to us.
Yeah. And there's a lot that he said that was so fun to hear, and I can't wait to put it into a story.
Right.
But he also told us about just the, you know, the way things were treated back then and everything like that. He was incarcerated in 1957.
Yeah, because he went in 3 years after the riot was over.
Yes. So 1957. And he ultimately did stay in the housing unit.
Well, that wasn't the first time he went. Well, that was the first time he went, but that was not the only time he went to the state pen.
No.
He also was in the federal prison.
Yes.
And it was a month away from going to Alcatraz.
Yeah.
And it closed down a month before he was supposed to be there.
Before he was supposed to be there.
Y'all, just wait. Just
his
wait.
Story oh, is so fine. It was so fun. But he had told us that he also had, he had been housed at the housing unit where, you know, there wasn't much. You had your cells, you went to lunch. He then talked about how he was housed in the housing unit 4 when it was an honor house. He also talked about how the chow hall basically was, when the last person
sat down,
the first person
had to be done and going back to their cell.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know how many at that time there people there were or how many they went to dinner at one time, but that to me seems like you better learn to eat fast.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't think you have much time, but it was ultimately because they didn't want all of them sitting down at one time to cause issues and fights and everything like that. He did say that he had witnessed a few people be stabbed.
He was in the hole one time.
He was in the hole.
They forgot about him.
He was in the hole. So yeah, he's just, he was really fun.
Yeah.
He was really fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's circle back to, we go to the death row. We found some fun facts that in 1984, the prisoners had wanted, the death row prisoners had basically fought for some, what would it be called? Like, they wanted somewhere that they could at least get their hour of rec time. They only got like an hour of rec time.
They wanted grass and a basketball.
Grass and a basketball hoop.
Basketball hoop. That's
the
right.
Only thing that they asked for. So they literally in 1984, they started digging up the ground.
They told them okay, but they had to build them.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to build them. they started digging up the grounds and they ended up uncovering some buried cells that dated back to the 1840s.
Right.
We did get to see, they preserved some of them. We did get to see them. And y'all, that looks like Viking type shit, like dungeon.
Hell yeah. It was a dungeon. Dirt ground. No.
It was a dungeon.
No.
Like legit.
So I wouldn't even put my dog in those. Well, no, I like my dog more than most people. Yeah, I wouldn't put my worst enemy in there.
I mean, yeah, maybe I would. For a little
I don't
while.
Like him.
Not very long, but for a little while. So they preserved a few of them, but then they ultimately just continued to build. They left the other ones underground, and continued to build above ground, the basketball hoops
over the other ones.
Yeah. Again, we'll post pictures of what exactly we're talking about. It's a sight to see. It's literally like a giant dog cage. It has half concrete and half grass. Above the concrete unit is a basketball hoop.
Yep.
In a cage with a
patch of grass. And then the other ones were just looked like a dog run. That did you like across from the ones that were the basketball hoop? Mm-hmm. This is when, you know, my incident happened.
Uh-huh.
But that was where they held them until it was their turn to go over to the basketball area.
So they got to be outside still, but it wasn't their turn to go experience the grass and the basketball hoop and everything. So now at this point of the tour, we now are about to move on to the gas chamber experience. Mind you, we've now went through 2.5 hours of our tour.
Right.
Seen the entire prison, 3 housing units, multiple cells.
Because we only had 20 minutes left. Oh, so yeah, 2.5 hours. Duh.
Multiple
sorry.
Cells.
Tons.
Multiple units.
Tons of floors.
Oh, yeah. Because each unit
was like 3 or 4 to 5. Right.
And you are able to go up to each flight of the prison.
Right.
And see that stuff. The cells up there. It's all the same. It's just different cells.
Right.
So here we are, 2.5 hours in. Now at this point, you have to drive to the gas chamber because it's down, it's around the corner pretty much of the prison. Great, fantastic, ready to go.
Well, we was.
Until Heather realized.
Oh, fuck. My keys are missing.
Hey, and guess what? Nikki, do you have my keys? Nope. Stacy, no. Mom, no. So, shit out of luck. Here we are. We have to be the goofballs that now have to tell the tour and the tour guides that we have lost keys in the prison somewhere. Luckily, her mother was with us with her car, so we didn't have to
miss. Hey, Mama! Major, she saved us. We got to finish our tour.
We went to finish our tour. For the most
coolest part.
So we got to finish seeing the gas chamber. They promised they would go back and look
for the keys.
Because now, mind you, the people that are there are already on another tour. So there's nobody just to go back. We have to literally wait until our tour is over for our tour guide to go back through the prison to search for these keys. So any hoot nanny, we get to the gas chamber.
And that's the only reason why I went, y'all. That shit was awesome.
It was. So quick history, 1937, the gas chamber was built by inmates.
Yep.
Not
the gas chamber. The gas chamber was brought in and they built a building around the gas chamber.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you know. The building that houses the gas chamber.
And it's not very big at all.
Oh no, it's tiny. You have, I don't even know, almost like a tool shed.
I would say a little bigger. I mean, probably I'd say 24 foot by 24 foot square.
Yeah.
And so each side is 12 foot. Right.
Left side, you enter, and it's literally like small stadium seating.
Yep. Bleachers.
Bleachers.
And windows.
A window. There's three bleachers and windows. Three
levels of bleachers, not three bleachers.
Well, yeah. This now is where families have now come to watch the executions occur, the inmates' families, the victims' families, everything like that, the lawyers, everybody that needed to be there for the witnessing of the execution. The right-hand side was the gas chamber itself. Now, that house, there was two small cells where they got to have their last moments, things like that. There was still a cross on the wall. They were able to read the Bible if they wanted to before their execution.
They were brought down there, I think she said an hour prior to their execution.
Yeah.
They could take, there was a little bed, not a little bed, but
yeah,
a bed in there.
Bibles, crosses, whatever they needed to do for their religion. And I did notice that they had it basically set up two different ways. They had one religious and one non.
Right.
So I definitely noticed that. So they could kind of choose what they decided to do for their last moments. There was 40 executions in the history of the gas chamber that were done at Missouri State Pen. The gas chamber itself is like a little time capsule.
Yep.
It's literally like a submarine time capsule that the old school, like, twist knob door opens of a fucking capsule, and you literally have two chairs side by side. What is it? A bucket?
Because sometimes they did do two at a time.
There was only four times
that they did two at a time. Right. But yeah, there was the metal chair with the little holes in it.
The holes in it and a bucket underneath it.
And that's where they put the, what is it called? Arsenic?
No. That one was for the excrements for when they died. The bucket behind it is where the arsenic went in. So there was a bucket in the seats where you sat. And that was for after the person dies, you know, your body does its thing.
I thought that was what, because my memory dropped my phone in there.
Yeah. So yeah. poop phone. Yes.
Heather, it was a shit phone. Show, y'all.
literally dropped her phone in the bucket where they house. So anyway,
and they said that like when the stuff came to like chest level,
they could do a courtesy knock.
Yeah, they did a courtesy knock because they had they would have a pillowcase over their head.
They would have something over their head. They would be strapped in, hands and feet. And then that thing strapped around their head. They would do a courtesy knock if they wanted it. And then it basically was they were strapped in the chair and the pills were laid out when they went into the room. They were strapped in. Doors was shut.
70 pills?
I think she said 60 to 80.
Yeah.
60 to 80. On a tray, and then they would mix it with the acid liquid, whatever. I did take a picture, let me look real quick, of the process. Kind of morbid but kind of cool at the same time. But
like when we were walking on the ground, you see a cross in the ground. And what they would do is the warden would go get them an hour prior to their execution, bring them down. And what would he say? Take whatever path you're going to take, but you're going to end up in the same place or something along those lines, she had said. So he could go on the left or the right side of the cross on the ground. And then there was an arch over the cross and it had roses. Mm-hmm. At the time it had roses. And I can't remember what the hell they called it, but I mean, that's kind of fucked up,
I know, here, we're going to kill you, but
here, look at these pretty roses on this arch.
But at the same time, I mean, it's your last chance to get right with the big man upstairs, so.
Bitch, you should have got right with the big man upstairs a long time ago. not an hour before you walking down the fucking path. This is
true.
You should have been right with the big man before you did this.
I was going to say, if you were right with the big man to begin with, you would probably wouldn't be here. What did you just do? Bathe yourself with your water cup?
I took a drink of my water and it splashed up on my forehead and dripped down my nose.
So in the museum, they have a picture of an actual reading. You know how when you get your heart rate read?
Right.
Did you see that?
Like a CAT scan? No.
Yeah. Okay, so they have an actual one that was on the machine from a George Mercer.
That was the first man in there.
He was.
Yeah, that was George Mercer. Was the first person.
He was executed January 6th of 1989. Now it shows, I will post this again, it shows the start of the execution at 12:01 a.m. They released 40 cc's and then the whatever sodium thing, they did 5 grams.
No, George Mercer was the first one to get executed there. That's okay. Right.
Now they did the first dose
at
12:01, and then he goes through his first dose. Step two, there's a cough. Step three, they start the first dose of the chloride. Step four, they start the second dose of the chloride. And by step five, 7 minutes later, his heart rate is beginning to slow down, and then he is then pronounced dead.
So was the execution just like electric chair?
No, it's gas.
It's gas. Oh, that's why they put the gas.
Yeah.
So they're saying that he was the first one to be executed in 1989 in Missouri State Penitentiary. How is that? I was 9 years old. That's bullshit. No,
I'm not saying it's the first.
Yes, ma'am. List of Missouri executions. He was the first one in 1989. But that wall, that picture on the wall, you remember which one I'm talking about in this gas chamber? When mom was like, look at this, and majority of them were, African Americans, and those were all the ones that had been executed.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. I don't know what the hell I did with that picture. I have, because there's so picture. Fucking many in
it's
here.
It's blurry, but I have a William Wright, age 33, execution date 38. 38.
So, I mean, he couldn't have been the first one.
William Wright, 38, is the one I see. Now, this is what your mom was talking about. So there's a picture when you go into the gas chamber.
And it's to the left-hand side.
Yes.
Well, it's in the visitor part. No, it wasn't. No, it was in the gas chamber part. That's right.
But it's weird to me because you got 5, 10, so... 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. This only shows 30. Oh, ah, sorry, guys. I blew up the picture. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, so it shows the 40 people executed. The point that her mom pointed out was the color differentiation here is very prominent on color bias, which is what we still deal with today, which is why we are still fighting for 24. The execution laws.
24 out of the 40 are African American.
That's, you know, it just proves that that's why we're still fighting till this day, that it's a very biased system. And
maybe that's when we stopped doing gas, was in 89. And George was the first one to get.
Well, you'd be bouncing around. I don't know.
George was the first one to get lethal injection. These were the 40 that got gas. But just think, I know I'm going to bounce around like totally.
Oh my God.
Just think, no. Okay. So they had to try it on somebody.
Okay. Yes. Lethal injection, 1899. It was in the museum right here. 1989, the execution of Missouri State Penitentiary inmate George Mercer. The last execution took place at the prison.
Okay.
By the lethal injection machine.
Okay.
It was a machine that activated another machine which held 60 cc syringe containing lethal drugs. Two administrators activated the machine, which released each of the syringes, forcing the chemicals into an IV line. So that's, we're talking about the lethal injection machine there. So that's where the
1989 is when they first did. Okay, so that's where I had it fucked up at. They had to try it out to see if the gas worked.
Well, yeah, she talked about that and she was like, well, I guess somebody had to make the sacrifice.
That's when the one guy was talking about the CO officer when we were standing outside. And he said, is it true that a CO officer died of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And she said, yeah. I'm sure it is because somebody had to be right. One too.
Could you imagine?
Now, it was said that eventually they built a second section on the opposite side of the gas chamber where the victim and the, I almost said victim and villain, but I mean, I guess technically I'm not wrong.
Right.
The families were separated because naturally it caused a lot of chaos and drama. Overall, we got to do our tour. We got to see the gas chamber. We did find Heather's keys. Yeah. Well, the lady did. And James, go ahead.
James Earl Ray took my keys out of my pocket, y'all. I swear. Because, okay, so I said to Nikki, I want to get a picture in his bed. You know me, I'm fucking weird. So,
right.
He took my keys because as Nikki walks in his cell, she flicks his cell off.
He killed MLK Jr.
And my ass lays down in his bed. So that motherfucker took my keys and they were laying in his bed because I only laid down in his bed and then in the woman unit. I laid on the mattress that was in there.
She ain't right, y'all. I ain't laying on shit.
And so, yeah, so my keys were in James Earl's cell. But what was really interesting, in which we have a picture of it on his cell, like that motherfucker had signed the wall above his cell on the outside, saying he was there from this date to this date. And what else? I don't remember exactly everything that was on it.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I mean, like he was fucking proud, you know.
He was. Well, and he was the true meaning of a
prick.
Well, and what is a like Nazi. Like, they freaking, he hated Black people. He was proud to have killed a powerful Black man.
Here it is.
He was freaking,
he said J, it says J-E-R, date of birth 8/10/28. This cell from 11/17/66 to 1/18/67. 4/23/67, he went to K-135.
So he got, he changed,
he got transferred, yeah, cells. Yeah. But it's just wrote over cell number 45 in black marker.
And I it's crazy to see, you got to see some of the stuff still written on the walls. You got
the,
to
drawings, see the drawings, yeah.
Some of them hadn't come down. And
there was a board that had like prisoners' names with their cell number and their prison number.
Yes.
It was amazing, y'all. It was amazing.
So again, all I can stress is if you guys haven't done it before, I highly suggest going.
Oh yeah.
It's a sight to see. It's a ton of history that we botched the best we could to deliver.
There is a little video that I took to you.
Of what
inside division? The prison.
Oh yeah. I do suggest though, if you go, make sure you give yourself time to go to the museum. It is small. It's not real big. It takes you maybe 20 minutes to go through. But it's super cool to see. There's so many things in it. There's weapons from the prison that they've, you know, held onto and recovered. There's the state seal from, you know, the prison, and everything is there.
That one of the prisoners carved.
Yeah, you get to see all the crafts that the prisoners did. And man, if they'd have taken some of this talent and turned it into something.
Right.
It's truly a sight to see, guys. So definitely, if you do the tour, make sure that you take some time to do that. We also went to eat at a really cute place called Prison Brews. That was fun. It's a cute decorated little restaurant that
we didn't get no pictures of it.
The booth, I got a few.
Oh, did you?
The booth looks like little prison cells, and they got barbed wire looking stuff at the top of the seats and stuff. It's really cute. So definitely check that out when you get there. And it's definitely something to plan a day trip and get it done. So we definitely will be doing this again. And we hope that you guys come with us. I'm not sure where this leads us into next episode. We'll get a case together, figure out what we're going to do. The Jimmy Cochran is going to be a while because we're going to hopefully get to talk to him. So we're going to get the interview set up with that and finish reading his book. And other than that, that's all I got for you guys today. I have to take the child to Hi-Yah class today.
Hi-Yah.
Pick the little one up. You got to drive home.
I'm going to the after party of the funeral.
Oh, okay.
Well, rest then. In peace, Kenny. Okay. Let me see. Let me do a funky fact, comfy fact. Okay, so Missouri State Penitentiary's nickname is the Walls. Now let me tell you, there is walls there because of the large stone blocks that encircled the prison. Like, legit.
Yeah.
There is, I mean, it's just brick walls all around.
It's stone, yeah.
Right. And, you know, the prisoners did it.
Oh, lordy lord.
You said 7 inmates were killed. This is saying 4 inmates were killed.
Fantastic.
You passed it.
I can't.
It is hard. You find, and you go to different websites and different stuff.
My
says
information
different things.
Was from my tour. Thank you very much. So 7 inmates were killed according to the tour guide of my prison tour. So Google, you're wrong. And I know you heard me because I know you're always listening.
Yeah, that bitches.
Next weekend, guys. No.
Not next weekend.
Not next weekend. I'm sorry.
November 6th.
Technically next weekend, the 30th,
my Halloween party. A couple of y'all exclusives can come. You know how to reach me. The following weekend, we have the Hunter Killer out at Heather's. The event has been created on Facebook. Please let us know if you guys are going to be coming. We have all the details on the event, so you can look at it, figure out what you need to bring, where you need to go, all that good stuff. We will be doing bonfires, food, booze, and hunting a killer. So
if you get too drunk, I'm snatching your keys.
There you go. Otherwise, we are on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, all your main ones. I'm sure I missed one. Apple,
Google, Stitcher, Google, Spotify.
That's it.
I just downloaded Spotify onto my daddy's phone tonight.
All right, there we go.
So he could hear us.
So major platforms, guys, like we said previously, we're starting over, we're rebuilding. So please go give us a follow, a listen, a like, get our numbers back up and get our audience to follow us. We are still on Facebook, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast. We are on Twitter. Also our website, www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. So we love
we
you guys.
We still have merch.
We still have merch. spooky season, fall season, get your hoodies and your long sleeves. We love you guys. Thank you. And until then,
stay comfy. Don't get murdered.